We're doing from the new offices, the new CSL offices in Las Vegas. So it is kind of a fun, exciting time for us. And as someone mentioned, yes, we just got back from a magnificent cruise. There were about 25, somewhere along there, number of beautiful people, and it was just an incredible, incredible time together. And we held all of you in our hearts. And with that, I would like to tell you that he has an interesting topic for the evening. It is how precious and glorious you are. And with that, I'll hand it over to Bill.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. And I know this topic, how precious and glorious you are, just strikes you as totally surprising that I would actually, you know, express words like that. But first of all, I want to mention that I had to keep reminding myself, Donna and I both did all afternoon, that we're in a different time zone than we have been for the last 5 years or so that we've been doing these teleconferences. We've moved from Mountain Time over to Las Vegas, which is Pacific Coast time, and so we had to keep reminding ourselves to do it at 6 o'clock, not at 7 o'clock, and we are right here on schedule. We're just happy to tell you. Second, I really want you to know how totally, absolutely delightful it is for Donna and me to spend this sacred hour with you. You know, I've come to treasure our monthly time together, and I don't know, for some reason, this month, tonight, feels especially, I don't know, special to me. And so I'm just thrilled and honored to spend this time with you, and would love to just invite all of us to just let our hearts, in our conscious awareness, just let our hearts merge and just be together in a really special way. And I'd like to do my own commentary on what Donna mentioned. And as she just said, we just returned a couple days ago with about 25 other very brave CSL participants from 7 glorious days cruising the power-filled waters off Alaska and visiting many of its port cities. And frankly, besides the truly memorable tourist aspects of the trip, we met each day in a very intimate, mutually supportive spiritual retreat where we drank in the loving blessings of Alaska's earth, air, fire, water. We experienced the enriching powers of all those elements swirling through our bodies. And frankly, we brought Alaska's unique qualities back with us. And a lot of that has become an intimate part of who we are. And the one thing I want to do is I want to thank all those who are a part of this journey. And I mention this to you because and Donna said something like this right up front. I want to mention that the blessings that were ours throughout this cruise are also literally yours. Maybe not as directly and experientially as they were for the 25 of us, but very really and deeply anyway, because we're all so intimately connected in our loosely knit and love-based community. So that's my second little announcement. And my third one, before we really get focused on how precious and glorious you are, I just want to share with you that Donna and I are now official residents of Sin City, Nevada. Yes, just before the Alaska cruise, we moved into our Las Vegas condo as full-time residents, and we already have our new business offices almost all decorated and ready to support this new chapter in both our life and the life of CSL. So there you have all the good news right up to the moment. And I'd like to have us turn our attention to this topic. And it's one that, as many of you probably guess, I'm especially excited about. And as Donna mentioned, I've entitled it, How Precious and Glorious You Are. Well, those of you who've known me for a while are already clear that this focus, that is our innate beauty, our wonder, is one that's very, very close to my heart. In fact, come to think of it, how often some of you have made endless fun of me, come to think of it, over the fact that I so frequently point out the underlying magnificence of you and all the people I interact with. And by the way, I just want to mention, if you happen to be one of those who've done that, who've made fun of me, I just want you to know I know where you live and that paybacks are not always sweet. Well, that said, and on perhaps a more serious note, I would love to dedicate our time together today to this, what I experience as majorly important fact, the fact that you are, I am, we are indeed, truly, and really precious and glorious. Precious and glorious. And you know, the reason I think I feel so strongly about this fact is that it's so fundamental. And what I mean is that it's the most fundamental, most basic, most central reality about you and me. It's who we are at the core of our being, at the bottom of our barrel, at the depths of ourself. It's the very floorboards of our human identity. And because it's that foundational to who we are, it influences, in fact, I think it determines almost everything else about our lives. For example, it determines how we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, how we view the world around us, how we interact with every aspect of who we are, how we engage with those around our world, and how we feel even about God, and how we open ourselves to the theoretically unending support of life itself. You know, for a number of years, I gave numerous talks to parent-child associations in many schools and often was a presenter to teachers and school psychologists during their in-service days. And almost always, I talked to them, parents, teachers, school personnel, about the central importance of children's self-concept. In fact, as I was preparing usually to go out to these meetings, Donna, whom you've come to love and adore, would often cynically say, yes, believe it or not, her words had a cynical tone to them. Yes, trust me. She would say to me, let me guess, I bet you just might be going to talk to them about, let me think, could it be maybe children's self-concept? Well, of course, you know, I was crushed by the cynical tone. But the reason I was so passionate about how children felt about themselves is that if children love themselves and feel good about themselves, and I know I'm telling you what you already know, those feelings create a whole internal pattern of feeling, of thinking, of decision-making, of behaving that just helps make life work for them. And, of course, in contrast, children who don't hold themselves in such self-esteem often experience significant personal problems or academic difficulties and interpersonal conflicts. And this is something we've known for a long, long time. In fact, I don't know if you know it, but for some years, Donna and I owned and operated a treatment center for, it was a diagnostic and treatment center for children with learning disabilities. So we had a lot of experience with children with academic difficulties. And I would guess probably for at least two-thirds, probably three-fourths of those children, even side-by-side with the learning disabilities that they may have had, their self-concept played as important a role in their academic achievement as did their learning orientations. I wanted to say something about that, and that's right. It was a quote. Excuse me. I just got distracted because I was looking for the quote. It was Sophocles. You remember Sophocles, the ancient Greek poet and playwright, who wrote these words in his Theban plays. Of course, you probably have his Theban plays right by your bedside, and you read them every night. So this will make perfect sense to you. One word frees us from all the weight and the pain of life, and that word is love. And so when we think of those children who don't have very good self-esteem and who therefore experience significant personal issues, I think of this phrase from Sophocles. One word frees us from all the weight and the pain of life. That word is love. And to share that from another perspective, I once, back in those days when I was giving all those talks, I once came across a really scholarly book that summarized actually a lot of psychological and educational research studies. And I apologize that I do not recall the name of the book now. But that book and all those studies concluded that a child's self-concept was an even bigger determiner of academic performance and achievement than was that child's IQ or cognitive intelligence. And that's why how we perceive ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, seems so vastly important to me, not just when we're children, but when we're adults and when we're old and when we're young and in between, because it's perhaps the single most human factor that influences every other aspect of our lives. And I just, even in all my work with spiritually oriented people, I see a lot of people who are very clear about their soul's passion, their soul's life plan, their soul's inspiration, their inspiration. And yet so often the only factor that holds many of us back from really realizing that, from going out and really giving ourselves fully to that, has a lot to do with what I'm calling that self-concept, or that way we relate back to the topic of tonight, how precious and glorious we are. So we are important. In fact, we're so important. We're so very, very important. We're profoundly alive in a human body, you and I. We've committedly, focusedly taken on our human form. We're soulfully driven to live personal lives of meaning and purpose. From another perspective, we're the main character. We play the leading role in the creative play of our human lives. We're here to make a difference, a real difference. And we can't make that important difference. We can't play that leading role powerfully. We can't fulfill that meaningful purpose fully if we're at war with who we are, if we're feeling consistently bad or intermittently bad about ourselves, if we dislike any or some facet of this amazing being that we are, if, in short, we just don't like who we are. Rose Rosetree, a personal friend of mine and a really gifted helper of others, and actually a prolific author of many inspiring books in the field of nutrition, who lives in Washington, D.C., wrote these words in one of her books. What if today were the very first day, what if today were the very first, were your very first day here on earth? See your body as if it were new. Yes, you've been born in a big way, fully grown, with the size and age perfect for an earth experience. Nice job. So I often wonder, why is it so hard for many of us to see our innate worth, to grasp our inherent beauty, to celebrate our unending magnificence, to accept our underlying wonder, to perceive our divine perfection, and sometimes to even notice these beautiful qualities about ourselves? Why? Why do you think seeing the glowing, glorious truth about ourselves so eludes our cognitive grasp, so sidesteps our conscious awareness, so avoids even our subconscious witnessing? After all, and forgive me if I take on a bit of a personal passion about this central facet of who we are, you and I are created in the image and likeness of God. That's a quote, as you know, from Genesis. At least it's the tried and true theory. According to many spiritual traditions, many religious approaches. And beyond that, beyond the fact that we're created in the image and likeness of God, we're all born beautiful, innocent, open-spirited, precious. We're adorable babies. Babies that when we're born harbor no resentments. We possess no imperfections. We're obviously nothing other than totally, absolutely beautiful. And somehow I feel like even though as babies our mind hasn't developed and we don't think consciously, we know deep in our core, deep in our feelings, deep in our subconscious self that we are absolutely beautiful, that we're created in divine glory, and that we're just wonderful. Well, what happened? What happened between that illustrious, magnificent moment of your and my glorious birth into a world that, frankly, we couldn't wait to celebrate into a life that we couldn't wait to live fully, and into a dynamic, rich, compelling self that couldn't wait to discover true personal happiness, fullness. What happened between that moment and those few years later when a disturbing self-doubt or a nagging inner fear or a deeply personal pain or a questionable self-concept took on a disrupting role that perhaps left you and me no longer leaping forward in high gear, no longer self-confident, no longer excited about our lives, no longer feeling alive. I mean, really, really, really alive. Alive enough to jump forth, and not just with confidence, but with excitement and with joy, embrace the self, embrace the life, embrace the opportunities that were before us. What happened? What happened? Or maybe more important, why did it happen? Or maybe even more significantly, why did we let it happen? Why did we submit to a life wherein we forgot? We forgot what a glorious, beautiful miracle we truly, truly are. Why did we submit to a life where we set aside that deeper knowing that we're literally created in a juicy embrace of a magnificently divine love, that we were burst into human life in a blaze of infinite glory, that we came to earth in a thrilling thrust of empowering wonder, and that we came here to play endlessly, to create excitedly, to celebrate breathlessly. Why? Well, I don't know. We could debate the answer to that why question for decades, probably only to conclude that the answer really doesn't matter. It may be more important to ask not why, but, well, what can we do about it? Or how can we recapture that inborn innocence that we had when we were a baby? How can we lovingly guide ourselves back into deeply knowing, deeply embracing, deeply grasping, deeply celebrating our natural preciousness and the glorious nature of our very existence? And that, with those words, I remind us again of the title, the topic of our time together today, how precious and glorious you are. Well, I'd like to get a little personal right now. I'd like to share with you what you look like through my eyes. And I'd like to do that just to give you a small itsy-bitsy example, just an infinitely tiny version, if you will, of what you look like in the eyes of that infinite being, that creative source that we've come to call God. And I want to offer you my apologies right off the bat for sharing this vision with you, because on the one hand, I know I'm simply reminding you of what you already know at the core of your being, to be the deepest truth of you. And on the other hand, my sharing a vision of this particular truth often makes some people, anyway, uncomfortable, because most of us are quite used to looking at our list of faults, but we're not very used to, not very comfortable with focusing on our innate worth, our innate beauty. And I found that in a lot of years that, as a psychologist, I spent time with children. I used to love spending time with children and adolescents. Spending time with their parents wasn't as much fun for me, but with the kids, it was wonderful, because I found the younger they were, the less they forgot, and the more, not just willing, but the more quickly they could grasp, they could remember the beauty of who they were. And even back in those good old days, which seemed a fairly long time ago right now, I used to just love hanging out with them because, I just saw how wonderful they were. And somehow in my interaction with them, no matter what we were talking about, I think they picked up that I absolutely embraced them as totally beautiful in as-is condition. And they, they got it. Once they got to teenage years, it became a little more difficult because the complexity of those years made it a little more hard for them to remember and to step back into that truth. But in this regard, I'd like to share another quote, this one by Augustine, the 3rd, 4th century bishop of Hippo. Hippo, I love that word, Hippo, in what is modern-day Algeria. But then you knew that. And he's also known in the Christian tradition as St. Augustine. And I know that I've shared this quote with you a couple of other times, but I'd love to share it again, not just because I love the name Hippo, but because it so pointedly speaks to what we're talking about. He writes these words, and if you've been a part of these teleconference calls, I think you'll remember them. People travel to wonder at the height of the mountains, at the huge waves of the seas, at the long course of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and yet they pass by themselves without wondering. And I just like to let those words dangle in your consciousness. Those last words, yet they pass by themselves without wondering. And in that context, I'd like to share with you how I see you. What do you look like to my eyes? Eyes that I'd like to call neutral, non-biased, and objective. Eyes that have forgotten the typical human judgments about our worth or non-worth. Eyes that maybe have allowed the deeper truth of our shared soul to influence them a lot. Eyes that come close to, but not nearly equal to, the eyes of that pure source that lives within each one of us. Here's what you look like to these eyes, and I've categorized my vision of you into 10 short themes, and here they are. Number one, I see you as a child of God, conceived in utter perfect love, created in a blanket of divine grace, and given your human and personal form out of the deepest, most unconditional love possible, conceived in utter and perfect love. Second, you are a human child of God, a human being, complete with your unique personality, your personal whims, your variable emotions, your complex body, your amazing mind, and all of you, every bit of the human you, is filled deeply with a purely divine nature. Even your personality, even your whims, filled deeply with a purely divine nature and an absolutely elegant spirit. Third, you are so beautiful to behold, so absolutely worthy of being celebrated, so magnificent to witness, so delightful to the many senses of all of us, so enormously lovely to experience, so utterly sensational to take delight in. Fourth, you're far too majestic to even be able to be defined, much too wondrous to be described or describable, completely too fascinating to explain. You're absolutely too wrapped in total infinite mystery to even begin to be understood. You're far too infinite in the midst of your finiteness to comprehend in any deep way. You're much too beautiful in every element of your nature to even begin to grasp. Fifth, you are deeply, profoundly lovable. Lovable. Lovable in every aspect of your being. Lovable in each quality and quirk of your personality. Lovable in every moving feeling of your emotion. Lovable. Lovable in each corpuscle and organ of your body. Lovable in your mind's every errant thought. And yes, lovable in your every breath. Yes, with every breath you take, you are lovable. Sixth, you're an immensely valuable presence. You're valuable. You're vastly important and significant to all the rest of creation. You're of great consequence to me and to all of us who are listening to this talk, these words at this moment. In fact, I think you're critically indispensable to all life. Whether you feel it, notice it or not, you make a true difference to everyone around you, no matter how they verbally respond to you. And you are most important of all, I think, to your divine source, that divine source that's always present to you from above, from around, from everywhere, and from the core of your own being. Number 7, you are so filled with soft and delicate light. Filled with light. You're such a luminescent beacon of pure, radiant life to all of us. You so radiate a sparkling, delicious glow of sun-like fire into my heart every time I think of you, every time I'm with you. You enlighten and enliven our depths, the depths of all of us, with your quietly burning luminosity. And you sparkle, yes you do. You sparkle with a delightful ray of inner brightness that gives joy to my core, joy to our core. Yes, you are filled with the most delectable light possible. 8, you are so utterly divine, 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 divine in every way, so preciously filled with divine love, so intensely complete with divine power, so passionately imbued with a divinely sourced creativity, so purely spirited and inspired by divine will, so carefully propelled by divine intention, so quietly radiant with divine light, and so moved in every way, on every day, in every moment, by your God self. 9, you are nothing short of elegant, beauteous, and exquisite. Elegant, beauteous, and exquisite. From the deepest, most primal parts of your humanness to the luscious heights of your spiritual nature, your elegant self, that real, beautiful, central, elegant self, knows no personal flaws, I believe. Sees no personal or inner imperfections. When your beauteous, exquisite self looks at you, what does it see? It sees only itself reflected in every aspect, every quality of who you are. And so clear and through, you are elegant, beauteous, and exquisite. End of discussion. No ifs, ands, and buts. That's the truth. And 10th. And last, and actually it's not last at all, because these 10 are just the bare beginnings of who you are. 10th, you are perfect, completely, utterly perfect. Nothing less, nothing more than perfect, divinely perfect, humanly perfect, to use a term, animalistically perfect, reptilianly perfect, amphibianly perfect. Sexually perfect, emotionally perfect, mentally perfect, physically perfect, energetically perfect, spiritually perfect, and have I mentioned perfect? Perfect in every way. And in this latter regard, may I emphasize that, whether it's you or me or anyone we might be talking about, the only reason I think we might be ignorant of this innate perfection that is so inherent to who we are, is that we've simply forgotten. Yes, I think it's that simple. We've just forgotten. And it doesn't matter really why we've forgotten. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of our forgetfulness might have been. That's all ancient history, even if it happened yesterday. It no longer exists. It only matters right here, right now, that we recognize that we've forgotten, period. End of discussion again. But the good news about forgetting, I think, is that if we've forgotten, we can remember. we can recall that deeper, more, if you will, original knowing. We can recreate our ancient memory in our current day consciousness. We can call ourselves to that fuller truth if we want to. If we want to. And I say if because if we get truly simplistic about it, it comes right down to a matter of, I think, maybe two things, personal awareness and decision. And when I say personal awareness, I mean that we need only become newly aware, freshly aware, maybe aware today of this profound truth, this truth about how precious and glorious we are in a way that, if you will, captures us, captures our innermost desire. That's personal awareness. And personal decision, meaning that if we want to strongly enough, we can call ourselves back to this innate knowing about our true nature, this deeply ingrained perception of ourselves, this original way of experiencing ourselves, this delightful vision of our grandeur, this knowing of our divinity, this experience of our perfection. And that awareness and that decision, those two are powerful doorways through which we can walk, doorways to each one of us being able to live more and more fully in this mind-boggling truth that we are beautiful, precious, gorgeous, glorious, wondrous, perfect, until one day we find ourselves swimming full-time in its totally freeing waters, moving freely in its self-loving energies, soaring endlessly in its light waves of infinite, infinite delight. You all know, maybe you don't, some of you know, Cynthia Lane. She's well known to many of us, and she's a precious friend. Actually, she's a friend not just to me, but to everyone she knows. I don't know that she's ever met an enemy. Anyway, she once wrote these words, "Your lives are tapestries of such great beauty." I want to repeat that sentence before I go on. Your lives are tapestries of such great beauty. The threads move together in endless patterns and colors, both vivid and subtle. The warp extends from the apex of heaven to the core of the earth mother. The woof winds in and out, weaving all the wondrous possibilities of creation into life's fabric. Above, below, all around, they are all one cloth. Wrap yourself in beauty. Wrap yourself in beauty. These words to me are so meaningful because they describe how every intricate element of who we are is creative, is woven, and is maintained in a state of elegant beauty. And that gripping beauty is ours, yours, mine, not just to digest, not just to see, but to embrace and to become, literally to become so fully aware of the beauty that is us, that's what we see when we look at ourselves. So, I have a question. Where are you right now in relation to your precious and glorious self? In this moment, how are you relating to this divine quality of yourself? What's happening in your heart, in your mind, in your body, in your feelings? Do you feel called to remember your magnificence? Do you feel called to build it anew into your daily self-seeing, self-perception, self-concept? To make it again, just as it was when you were born, the centerpiece of your daily life. To center, in fact, your whole experience of yourself and your precious life around that. If you do, or to whatever degree you do feel this inner calling, allow me, if you will, to walk each of us, all of us, through a very brief and simple process. It's a process that we can all experience together, if you care to, a process or a ritual that may support you in taking this important step back into your magnificence, back into the seeing of it, the grasping of it, the accepting of it, the owning of it, the embrace of it, the becoming of it. It's a short four-step ritual, actually. And so I'd like to invite all of us, if you feel like it, to close our eyes and to enter into the warm embrace of this four-step process. And let its magic fill you to the fullest possible reunion with your own precious and glorious self. And here are the four steps. First, look at yourself. I mean, really, really look. Look at who you are. Look at yourself through the eyes of God, the pure, all-knowing, unconditionally loving eyes of God. What do you see through these eyes? What does God see in you through these unconditionally loving, all-knowing eyes that see only the truth of you? When you get a fairly clear picture of what you're seeing through those eyes, ask yourself a question. Ask yourself whether you deserve that pure perception, that all-loving embrace, that absolute unconditionality of love, that unequivocal devotion. Well, as I see it, the answer is you do. You do deserve it. Yes, you do. And if your answer is some version of that yes, then you're ready for the second step, which is this. The first step was look at yourself and do so through the eyes of God. The second step is become the eyes and the love of God. Become those eyes. Become that love. That's right. Let your eyes become the divine eyes. Let your love of yourself become that unconditional divine love. Let your embrace of yourself become God's endless, endless embrace. Then allow yourself the seeming luxury of loving yourself exactly as God does. Maybe right here, right now. The luxury of accepting yourself unconditionally, just like the divine does, of even forgiving yourself totally for everything. That's right, for everything you've ever done that ever engendered a self-judgment. The luxury of finding delight in every aspect, especially of your humanity, of embracing everything that you formerly maybe found fault with, but this time, embracing it with total and unconditional love, just letting your mind know that whatever that judgment was about, it just was because you forgot. And it's okay to forget, and now you're remembering. And that unconditional love on your part leads you now to the third step, which is this. Live in your body right now. Yes, live in your body. And I'm focusing on your body because it's often, that is the body, is often the last place we think to look for our divinity and our perfection. So go live right now in your beautiful, precious body, and especially in any specific part of your body that you've maybe had a hard time accepting, whether it's like your physical weight or your medical symptom or your dislike of your body for whatever reason. And just sit there for a minute in your body right now and allow your unconditional love to embrace your body or that facet of your body, to accept your body or even its physical, medical condition for what it is, to love your body and or its condition as utterly and completely perfect for you right now. And once you've done that, just for as long as you feel is important, you're ready for the fourth and final step in our love-based ritual, and that's this. Let me back up and recall the first three steps. First, look at yourself, especially through the eyes of God. Second, become those divine eyes, become the love of God. Third, live in your body and let yourself love that body. Fourth, talk to yourself. Talk to your whole self. Tell yourself that you love him or her just the way you are. Make, and this to me is a big, big statement, make a sincere personal commitment. Commitment just like you would in a wedding ceremony if you were marrying your whole self. A commitment to love and cherish your precious self. To hold yourself and every aspect of it in the clearest and highest esteem, with utter devotion, with full heart, for better and for worse, till death do us part. May I repeat that? Make a personal, sincere commitment, just as you would in a wedding ceremony, a commitment that says, I love and cherish myself. I hold myself in every aspect of it in the clearest and highest esteem, with utter devotion and fullness of heart, for better and for worse, till death do us part. And this loving commitment on your part ends this four-step ritual. But in truth, it begins a beautiful new life, a beautiful fresh marriage, a wonderful relationship with this marvelous, wondrous person that you deeply, truly are and that you've known you've been from ages of old. And I congratulate you personally on this gorgeous step that you've just taken into your amazing, amazing beauty. I thank you for becoming the God of your life in the most loving and enriching way possible, in the most central, important way possible. And I wish you the most wondrous life imaginable as you witness and celebrate your preciousness, your beauty, every day of that life. And I'd like to close my part of our beautiful time together today with one more quote. Yes, another quote. Will he never stop? It's a quote by Dr. Masaru Emoto, the current-day Japanese author, researcher, who recently wrote those beautiful books about the power of love in relation to water. Remember that? Well, his words put self-love into what I believe is the biggest possible context. And his words that I'm about to express, and it's only one sentence, demonstrate the biggest possible reason to love ourselves as beautiful, to hold ourselves as precious, to experience ourselves as divine. And his words go like this. To love yourself is to love and thank all of existence. To love yourself is to love and thank all of existence. Yes, self-love. Loving yourself as precious, glorious, magnificent, divinely perfect, and absolutely deserving of every devotion on your part. For you to do that is a way of loving all life. And it's a way of thanking and celebrating all of existence. And when you do that, all that is divine within you, all that is divine in every part of life, rejoices. So thank you. Thank you so much, one, for the joy that I've had of spending this time with you. You, an amazing, wondrous, sensational expression of a divine, endless source of infinite delight. You are an infinite delight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And what I'm going to do in just a second is I'm going to turn this over to us, and we're going to shift my words over to you so that whatever is inspiring, whatever is meaningful to us can come no longer from me for this next time, but from you. And I'll just remind us that this is not a time for questions and answers. It's just a time for anybody who feels like sharing anything that's either on this topic or whatever, anything of yourself or your own thoughts or anything you feel moved to share, to do so as your way of loving and blessing us. So I am going to push a couple buttons here, and I will be right back with you. And we are at that place now where we're all still muted except me and anybody who would like to talk. And if you would like to say something, to share something, all you need to do is unmute your phone, just push star 6, and that will unmute your phone, and you can tell us who you are and share with us what you'd like. And then when you're finished, if you would mute your phone again, that would be great. So it is with great joy that I invite anybody who would like to share something with us. Who would like to do that? If there is anyone out there who would love to say something, then we are totally open to that and would adore it. And while you're thinking of it, I just looked at my watch for the first time and realized that I have just gabbed and gabbed and gabbed away here. I am totally ashamed of myself, which goes along with the theme of the whole talk, doesn't it? So if there is someone who would like to share something, please let us know.
Bill.
Yes, Rick.
It's Rick. Hi.
Hi, Rick.
I love what you've been saying because I've always had this consideration or philosophical thought experiment of how could I view my own life as sacred, which I think would be a word you avoided, but it has a lot of meaning, you know, in all the spiritual connotations.
Yes.
And so, you know, sometimes it's so easy to see something else as sacred outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mountains are sacred or life is sacred. And, you know, and how do you, you know, rhetorically speaking, how do I make the jump to looking at myself the same way I would an incredible mountain or a sunset and actually seeing, and actually I would say feeling in the cells of my body that same sense of recognition, maybe, of something more than just perception per se, but of some deep something that moves us. It obviously moves. It rings bells. It touches something in us where we go, this is more than the regular way I meet life. And so I just kind of like, you know, see that invitation always open to me. Can I get to that place of seeing my very existence that way? Kind of a Zen cone, you know?
I'm sorry, I missed the last.
It's almost like a Zen cone. It's like,
yes, exactly. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for, one, putting the question out or the series of questions, and two, putting it out in a way that, as I experienced it, Rick, was putting it out as part of a mystery, not in one sense reaching for the rational response to the question, but reaching into the mystery for the response to the question. And I think you did that beautifully for all of us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to listen to you and to share. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Rick. Great. And is there somebody else who'd like to share something with us? Okay, well, you know what I think I would just love to do at this point is I would love to lead us, if it feels right to you, in a closing meditation for the next 10 minutes or so. Again, I want to thank all of you who shared. That would be Rick. And those who didn't, but just as you let your hearts share, let your soul share, let your whole beautiful, precious being share how we got filled with the blessing of you just because you're here and because you let sharing happen on so many other levels. So thank you so much. I'm just going to push another button. And I'm just going to talk and offer us background music in my words and invite us onto a somewhat personal journey, just a beautiful, loving, sweet experience of this amazing, remarkable self that we are. And just as we start, I want to personally thank each and every one of you. It's ironic to say this in a sense, but talking about how beautiful we are is for most people and most groups, it's very, very, very difficult. And it's not for you. And I just want to thank you for that, because you have already taken so many, many, many steps of the very journey that this talk, this focus this evening has been about, this conversation has been of. And so I just want to thank you for that. So if it feels right to you, let yourself just be moved by these words. Let's start a very, very slow, brief journey. And let's start in our toes at the bottom of our feet. And let's just let our awareness be there in those toes, and thank those toes and those feet for all the billions upon billions of steps they've taken as they've led us wherever it was that was important for us to go in life. To thank those toes for drawing in to themselves and to our bodies and to our energy field the precious energy of this Mother Earth, who feeds us through energy that moves in through the bottoms of our feet. To thank not only our toes and our feet, but our legs, if you will. Thank those legs for moving and bending and walking and running and taking us wherever it's been important to go, and for being such a solid, stable connector from us to this earth, from this earth to us, from us to infinity, which lives beyond this earth. To thank the muscles of these legs, the bones of these legs, the everything of these legs. To thank even the skin of the legs and of our whole body, just for all the ways that it brings the prana and chi of life into us, and then moves our prana and chi out into the world around us. Maybe as we move up to the hips and the gastrointestinal area of ourselves, just to hang out for a moment in these organs and in all the processes of our generative and digestive self, as we just not only express gratitude, but feel ourselves as living participants in, as deep experiencers of this way that our bodies so take care of us, and so do hundreds of thousands of millions of processes every hour of every day, in utter devotion to who we are. Let us feel not only the devotion of this body, but let us feel the glory of this body, as perhaps this body knows what we are calling ourselves to in this time together today, that this body knows its glorious, precious, beautiful nature, that this body knows its perfection and its wonder, and that this body is already celebrating all of life as well as celebrating itself as an intimate part of all of life. And then let's move maybe our focus to our energy, the energy of our chakras, all the way from that root chakra, which continually generates life force and prana and chi within us and to us, and that loves us deeply, and in not just its sexual, but its generative, its sensual, its feeling, its pulsing, its precious feeling ways that it keeps us alive and brings new life into us at every moment, because it loves us, it's dedicated to us. And moving into our solar plexus, where we feel the energy of our emotions and our feelings, and that place where we feel all the energy around us as well as in us, and we can thank that solar plexus, that place of deep passionate emotion and feeling, because there's such total devoted effort to keep those feelings present to us in a way that feed us and nurture us and just give us the kind of equilibrium and balance and emotion and feeling that are important for us. Then we move to our heart, and we literally sit in the middle of our heart, and we have no choice but to thank our heart for having its own giant eye, which is very much like the eye of God, looking out onto the world and seeing not just the perfection, but the absolute unity of life, the precious, beautiful oneness of us with all life, so that we can feel in the depths of our being that deep place of peacefulness and that deep place of centeredness and groundedness in the biggest, biggest possible truth of life. And then let us just briefly hang out in our mind and thank this mind and its hardware, the brain, for, again, the billions upon billions of ways every day that this brain and this mind manufacture light into thought, produce the light field of life and the photons of light into productive, focused, not just thoughts, but ideas and theories and beliefs and orientations and worldviews and consciousness that just make this whole experience of self and life much more interesting than if they weren't there. And finally, let us just hang out in this vast, beautiful field of light, this amazing spirit of ourselves, and just as we feel ourselves as this ray of light that fills the space of our body, the space of our aura, we know one thing for sure, and that is we are indeed divine, because our divinity lives pure and clear, strongly and solidly in this space, without any denying, without any doubt. And so, as we just sit in these final moments, just in the glory, the wonder, the preciousness, the beauty of this self that has our name on it, this self that we are privileged to live in and live as, this self whose life we're privileged to lead as the main character in its play, this self that is filled with perfection, filled with beauty, filled with wonder, filled with every quality of the divine in a way that's put together simply so it can be experienced not just multidimensionally, but three-dimensionally, experienced as feelings, experienced as mass, solid body, experienced as thought and consciousness. What a glorious, glorious being you are. And I, Bill, as we end this time together, thank you for being so glorious. I add my love, my blessing, and my full support to you so that every minute of every day you can celebrate, enjoy, and just love yourself as the most amazing, magnificent self you might ever encounter. Thank you. I love you. And I'm going to turn this over to Donna now just to say a beautiful, precious goodbye to us.
Thank you. That was a wonderful hour, Bill. And I particularly want to thank Rick for the comment that he made on being able to even see ourselves as that sacred. And we so often can look outside of ourselves. So this is a beautiful evening of a self-journey. Our next teleconference will be on June 29th. We invite you to join us again. And in the meantime, Bill will be in Asheville, North Carolina, on the 12th and the 13th of June. And I know already there's a wonderful crowd of people that are planning on joining him for that weekend. And also he'll be completing the leadership program during the month that month. And we just want to say thank you to all of you who support CSL and share this evening with us. So with that, I'd like to just say good night and blessings to all of you. And so maybe unclick our phones, we can all say goodbye.
Thank you, Donna. We are all unclicked and we are all unmuted. And thank you all from Donna and me and from Sin City. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful evening together. We love you. And how about we all say a precious goodbye till we meet again next month. Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Have a good month. Bye-bye. Aloha.
Hey, aloha. Bye-bye.
Love you.